You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
It's preaching time. And there is a word from the Lord. I'll be coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Jesus. Again, that is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. If you could stand on your feet. And it reads, "But God's mercy is so abundant, and his love for us is so great, that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. In our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of his grace and the love he showed us in Christ Jesus. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are. And in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared us for." Let us pray. Oh, God, it is preaching time, God. So, Lord, I pray that your word go forth, God. Hide me so far behind the cross that all they see and hear is you, God. So put the butterflies in formation and have your good and perfect way, God. It is in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The title I want to leave with you today is "Give Yourself Some Grace." Give yourself some grace. In this day and time, whether it is family, work, or church, we have all extended grace to others more times than we can count. There have been times that have arisen that have in our everyday lives that have literally brought us to our knees. When we feel like we can't handle anything else, or we feel we don't have any more grace to give, yet and still, we find a way to handle the situation before us graciously. Times when our children have tested all the resolve we have, and we extend grace to them by letting them freely take air into their lungs. My son knows very well. Because in the back of our minds, we know jailhouse orange ain't a color we want to end up wearing. Times when our jobs have handled us so poorly, and we still find ourselves extending grace to them. You know the times when your employers want this and that done within a certain amount of time, and you know full well there is not enough time in your shift to get it all completed. And if you can get it completed, they are nitpicking everything you do as if they didn't just lay this at your desk with no guidance, supervision, or input in sight. And yet, you still extend grace because you need that job to provide for your family. And if that wasn't enough, we come into the house of the Lord, where we should be seen as equal and able to worship freely, only to be relegated to the four corners of whatever room we enter, to be seen and not heard. There are even times when we walk into the church and we have to deal with church folk. Y'all know the people, the ones that only speak to you because they feel obligated and you know full well they don't even like you. You have to deal with the cliques that have formed, and because you are doing what God has called you to do, these same people find fault in it at every turn you take. And let's not forget, when you're a pastor, your flock sometimes forget that you are human and that the church is not the only thing you have to juggle. Now, I'm going to stop right here. I'm not talking about spirit of unity, but nonetheless, because you know we're about the Lord's work, but nonetheless, in other churches, people are made to feel as if they are less than others, not worthy enough, or are just the help, and we are only to praise God from the pew and not the forefront. What they forgot is that this is not their house, but it's God's house. And the last time I checked, none of these people have a heaven or hell to put you in. When all these things come at you, you are left feeling like you are underqualified, understaffed, and underappreciated. You see, we as people have a lot to juggle, and we get so caught up in extending grace to others that we forget what the actual definition of grace is: the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. So while you're sprinkling grace on everyone else, we need to remember to sprinkle some grace on ourselves. Sometimes instead of always helping other people, we need to be focusing on giving ourselves some grace and letting the one who extends grace to all of us handle everything to begin with. Just like the Apostle Paul was trying to tell the church of Ephesus, God is trying to tell us that God's gift of love, mercy, and grace is waiting for all of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many jobs you've been through. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past, what we look like, or how we worship. The only thing that matters is that we humble ourselves, give ourselves some grace, and allow God to do the work in and through us. But the text on today tells us that there is hope. It tells us we don't have to worry about always fixing the problems that come at us. We don't have to be so hard on ourselves because Jesus has already paid the price, and anything that comes at us does not compare to what he has already paid for us. You see, it tells us that if we have faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, God has covered all of us with God's love, grace, and mercy, and will meet our every need. And when times like this occur, church, we need not worry about how to fix the problem or be hard on ourselves. Instead, give yourself some grace and allow God to have his way. All right. I know you're all wondering, with everything that we have going on, what are the benefits of giving yourself some grace? Well, a benefit of giving yourself some grace is to know that we are already empowered by his grace. Let's go back to the text. It says in verses 4 and 5, "But God's mercy is so abundant and his love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that you have been saved." In other words, the same grace that you generously give to others, God is ready and waiting to extend that same grace to you. God's love for us is so great that he is patiently waiting to move if we just let him. Now listen, let me make this clear. I don't want nobody quoting me saying, "I told you, you ain't got to raise your kids, you can quit your job or the church." I don't want nothing. Don't take that from this. Because we are supposed to raise our children and correct them. That's our duty. We are supposed to do the best on our jobs and in church. But there is a time when you have done all you can. We have prayed all the prayers that we know and extended all the grace that our mortal bodies can. And this is when we have to give ourselves some grace and let the grace that God has empowered us with work in our lives and the lives of those we love. Yes, when our children are not doing what we've asked them to do and we extend them grace by letting them live, that's all we are called to do. God will do the rest. And we, even though we have extended grace after grace after grace on our jobs because they have thrown so much at us that it is impossible to get the work done, all we have to do is move out of the way and let God do the rest. And we must do the same even when we come into the house of the Lord, the place where we should feel the safest, and still we've been slighted in some way, shape, or form when we walk into the house of God. We have to step aside and let God move. By no means am I saying all of this is easy, but it's time for us to step aside and let God do the work we've been stressing over, worrying over, and crying over, because let's face it, where we can't, God can. God can see what you can't. God can fix what you can't. God can hear what they say about you when you can't. God can replace your job or the people on your job when you can't. God can do what you can't. He can go where you can't. And because where we can't go, God can. And when we try to do it all ourselves, God is not getting any of the glory. And we are created to praise and give God glory in all things, because God is the only one who can fix it. And because we are empowered by His grace, we can live a life worth living. Because we are empowered by His grace, we can extend grace and it can go further. It can have a greater impact than our finite minds can imagine. Because if we are honest with ourselves, your parents didn't save you. Instead, they got out of the way so God could. And you can't save your children from all hurt and harm. You can't save your co-workers from burnout or quitting. You can't save your pastors or church members. You need to give yourself some grace and let God handle the situations, because God is the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can heal us. He's the only one who can protect us. So, Spirit of Unity, I came today to challenge you to be empowered by the grace that God has so richly and greatly given to you. Give yourself some grace. Get out of His way and let Him do the work. Another benefit of giving yourself some grace is to know that Christ is the ultimate provider. It says in verse 6 and 7, in our union with Christ Jesus, He raised us up with Him to rule with Him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of His grace and love, and the love He showed us in Christ Jesus. To put it plainly, be content in knowing that because of God's provision, we are seated in the heavenly realms with Him.
Thank you, Lord.
An author named John Piper summed up grace in this one statement. God's grace not only treats us better than we deserve, but His grace is a form of help. God desires to provide your every need. He desires to help you see through your mess. He desires to help you overcome every obstacle you face. He wants to help you to be a living testimony that you were created to be, and show others what God can do through us, just like God did through His Son Jesus. So when it comes to your children who get lost in the chaos of this world and they stray away from the comforts and safety of home, where they are cared for and loved, and they choose to face the hardships and dangers of this world, this is when we have to pray and give yourself some grace and let God handle it and meet them where they are. Allow God to cradle them the only way He can, to make provisions for them and to care for them. Just like our children, we too were lost. But through our union with Christ Jesus, we were not only rescued from that mess, but we were raised to a place of honor and glory. When our bosses forget that they are not God and power more work on us than humanly possible, we got to pray, fast, and trust that God will work it all out. And even when we feel slighted in the church or see your pastor going through their own personal struggles, we got to move out of the way, pray, and let God handle each situation according to His good and perfect will for our lives. And God, being the ultimate provider that God is, will see us through anything that we face and provide everything we need. God will provide us with the strength to endure. He will provide us with ways out of no ways. God will provide us with so much peace that it surpasses all understanding. Church, give yourself some grace and let the ultimate provider, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, be who God is, and that is our greatest advocator and provider. And finally, the benefit of giving yourself some grace is remembering that we are created for His good works. In the final verses, it states, "For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not a result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus has raised us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do." Meaning, we were all created for His glory and saved from our sins by His grace. So it's time to give yourself some grace, get out of the way, and do His work, the work we are called to do. So instead of getting caught up in the shouldas and the couldas and the wouldas, we have to get caught up in doing the work of the Lord and letting His good work speak for us. Instead of beating yourself up for the mistakes that you made, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You shouldn't beat yourself up because the world is going to do enough of that for you. Instead of getting all worked up over your job, remember that it's just a job. And even though they should, it is not their responsibility to sustain your mental health, but it's yours. Instead of getting angry and in some cases getting even with people in the church, we should instead remember that God saved us all from our faults for God's purposes and God's purposes only. Furthermore, keep making that dinner with next to nothing. Keep doing those work projects with your coworkers. Keep working in your church and in your ministries, and let your works speak for you. This is all part of the living testimony that you were created to be, especially when you were doing it and giving all glory to God because of what God has done when we just step aside and let God do the work. Now, I'm not saying we just sit around and do nothing, because we all know that God uses us to bring forth His message. And if we don't have faith, then our works are dead on arrival. God uses us as conduits of God's amazing power and grace. And if you don't believe me, in my best Reverend Smith voice, let me give you some proof and put your finger on the word. If we look at the book of Esther, we see how she allowed God to use her when she went before Xerxes, even though doing so without permission could cost her her life. And in doing so, saved her people. This is only done through the power and grace given to her by God. Or you can go to John 4, where God used a Samaritan woman to lead others to Christ and to never thirst again. Another act of God's grace and provision. And if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see that there was a giant named Goliath, who stood over 9 feet tall and dared someone to challenge him. David, a young and inexperienced boy, accepted the challenge and knocked him out with a slingshot and one stone. This only happened because of David's faith in God. Hey, we could talk about Anna in Luke 2 and 21 through 38, becoming a widow after only being married 7 years and yet remaining faithful to God, as well as fasting and praying and being able to see the blessed face of Jesus. These are the effects of the power of prayer and faith that God will do abundantly more than we could possibly imagine. Or let's look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke's chapter 1 and 2. She's a young woman, possibly a teenager, was chosen vessel to carry the Son that would change the world. Then having to watch her son being nailed to a cross for sins he did not commit. Because she had a heart that trusted God and faith, she was able to withstand the birth and the death of her son. And if you think that wasn't enough, let me take you back to Genesis 21, 1 through 9, where God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac. Because he trusted and had faith in God, when Abraham raised his knife to follow through on God's command, God stopped him and provided a ram in the bush. If you see the common theme, church, with all these examples, is that none of these people boasted about the good works they did, but rather trusted in the work that God was doing in and through them. Spirit of Unity, I came today to challenge you to give yourself some grace. And in the words of one of my favorite theologians, Dr. Katie G. Cannon, go and do the work your souls must have. There is too much work to do in and out of the church for us to get caught up in things that we have no control over. We must do the best we can with our children, give ourselves some grace, and let God do the rest. We must do our best at work and then give yourself some grace and let God handle the rest. And do your best in church that when they try to put you in a corner, stand up, step out, and give yourself some grace and let God do the rest. And when they tell you it don't take all of that to praise God, that is when you tell them God has done too much for you to be quiet. He has saved your children from hurt, harm, and danger. He has saved your job when you wanted to flip some tables and walk out. He has brought you out of the corner they have put you in and gave you a shout and a testimony that you just can't hold in. Not to mention the same God that died for them is the same God that died for you. Church, you have been empowered by God's grace. Know that God is the ultimate provider. Remember that God created you, saved you, so that you can praise him, so you can worship him. And remember, you were created to do the good works of God. Give yourself some grace, Spirit of Unity, and let God do the work.